can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church. Lord, thank you for the two salvations we had out souling. I pray, God, that you bless them, and pray they'll come to church and get baptized and start serving you, Lord. And please bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you want to take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 161. Page number 161, Our Great Savior. Page number 161. We'll sing it out on the first.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior! Hallelujah, what a friend! Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength in weakness, let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He, my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what a Savior! Hallelujah, what a friend! Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior! Hallelujah, what a friend! Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. storms about me, night o'ertakes me. He, my pilot, hears my cry. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive him more than all, in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness, I am his and he is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. At this time, we will have our announcements.
All right, welcome back, everyone. The verse of the week is Psalms 27, verse 14. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27, verse 14. Service times are 10:30 this morning, 3:30 this afternoon, 6:30 on Wednesdays. Solening times for yesterday at 12:30. We had 4, and then today at 1 p.m., and we had 2. So we have a total of 6 for June so far, for a total of 92 for the year. So amen. And I just want to say, I actually believe since I've been coming to this church, that is the most we've ever had in June. June is usually, even in like some other good years, usually is much lower, but hey, amen. So I'm glad. So, Salvation's attendance down below. Upcoming events, June 16th, coming up here in a couple days, is the homeschool day. We'll be right here in the church building. Hopefully you've RSVP'd. Those have always been look fun. Obviously, I've never gone, but I'm at work. But it looks like a great event. I'm really glad they're going on. So, if you're planning to go, please just RSVP. Coming up next Saturday is going to be the Cheney Soul Winning. It's going to start, may start now, 10? It's going to start at 10:30. So if you're planning to go at that, also there may be a men's outing out in the afternoon as well. If you want to go, just I'll send out more information later this week. And then June 21st is going to be a Father's Day sermon. Going to be a special one, so invite people. And the Larsons will be here, so it'll just be nice to have some visitors. So. Also, kids, your memory verse right now is Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So that's your memory verse right now. All right, rules are the same. Tithing is down below. And then, as we said, we got, we'll wait until next week for birthday for Kyle, coming up this week, though. Following week will be Elijah and Karina. So with that, if you have any other prayer requests, please let the Tufts know and they will get it into the bulletin. But with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father.
Okay, if you want to take your Bibles or your Psalm books, and we're going to turn to Psalm number 150. Psalm number 150. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm number 150. We'll sing it out on the first. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. At this time, we will pray for the offering.
Dear Father, let us give thanks for the kindness and mercy and guidance that you've given us to your commandments. Lord, whether we're in good times or bad times, it is still just a tent that you ask. And let us always remember, fortunately, it's always the same and it's always the same. Just now, amen. Amen.
Welcome back, everybody. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1 will be our text this afternoon. And as always, here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Romans chapter 1, the Bible reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Brother Remy, could you please pray for the preaching?
Dear Lord God, thank you so much today. Thank you so much for everything you do for us, God. Thank you so much for everybody that came to hear your word preached tonight, God. It's great that you would put all the things in the Holy Spirit and help us faith into the message. And I pray that you would help us understand the Sunday's preaching on better than when we first started. Just there, pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to be here to get everyone. One thing I love about how we read the whole chapter out before the preaching is, I want you to look down. This wasn't part of my original thing, but go ahead and look down at verse 9. Because here's the thing is, a lot of people would say, what I'm about to preach is hard. Why is it focused on? Why do we do it? You know, couldn't it be easier if we just skip past these type of topics? But isn't it interesting that Paul, under the holy guidance of the Spirit, recorded here, when he goes to the Romans, he first says there in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. He goes on to basically say the most glorious, holiest thing. He's serving the gospel by coming to them and bringing them this message. Hopes of salvation. You know what he's answering? A lot of people go, why do you talk about these things? Why do you do this? Well, what's interesting is, you know, a lot of times when we go out and we meet people that may not even have a Christian upbringing, you know what the big question is? Why is there evil in the world? Why is there evil in the world? You know, there's a lot of people like, I just can't believe in a God because there's bad things out there. Well, isn't it interesting that Paul decides, you know, when I go out to the Gentiles, the very first thing I'm going to talk about is the evil. The evil is real. Wickedness is in this world. And that is what I'm going to be talking about today. It is Pride Month, so this is what we're going to talk about today. But go ahead and turn to verse 32 there. Because this is what I'll be preaching on today. In Romans 1, verse 32, it says, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. In them that do. The title of my sermon today is The Reprobate Coalition. The Reprobate Coalition. Because you understand, not all reprobates are gay. And not all reprobates, you'll do that. But here's the thing is, there's a lot of support. Who's ever heard this? We need to see our allies. Be an ally of pride. Hey, that big celebration they had down there yesterday, many of them probably aren't gay. But why are they out there at a gay festival? They're being allies. They're being supportive. Well, here's the thing is, the Bible even tells us we do this. Like, not all reprobates there, but reprobates love those that do things worthy of death. It does mean they do it. They just love if other people are doing things worthy of death, and they have pleasure in them that do it. So today, I just want to kind of go through this and explain that, because I think it's something that missed. And understand, this is what Paul started off with, to bring the joy of the gospel to them. But it's important to understand, the world is filled with evil, and even though sometimes we think it's worse and worse, worse now, guess what? The height of the Roman Empire, I bet there was a lot of reprobates of all types. It was relevant then, it's relevant now. There are people that reject God, and God gives them over to an unclean spirit. So go ahead, with that understanding of what we're talking about today, go back and look at verse 21. We'll start there. Because why is there just true evil? Now here's the thing is, there are many commandments. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all wicked and deserving of hell. But that's not the level of evil I'm talking about today. I'm talking about that to which God says he has to give them over to go so far. And it says in Romans 1 verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and foolish hearts were darkened. They became prideful. They became foolish. What a perfect name for the month.
Yep.
They're prideful. They're vain. In their own imagination, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have you ever met someone that holds to such wickedness and that, and they just go, well, of course I believe this. Science. Science does not support anything that's happening right now.
Amen.
Science would say, wow, you can't reproduce. You should just be put to death because the strongest survive. You know, if you really want to just try a worldly philosophy, well, that would be called a Nazi there, Nazi. Like, that's what, like, no. Science doesn't say you just make up, well, actually, I'm a fish because I identify it. That's not science. That's foolishness of the imagination. That's from pride and vanity. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. Isn't that funny? How do people view God? They view God as themselves. They say, well, if I was God, this is how I would feel. That's corrupting God in the image of yourself. All right, this is what every pagan god is. When you read about Zeus, Thor, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, yeah, they were men, corruptible. They're all in hell for rejection of God. They are reprobates, yet I don't think most of them were probably gay. But it falls under the same thing. Corruptible things that the birds, four-footed beasts, or creepy thing. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Their own hearts. Well, what do you mean about your own hearts? Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's your short version of this because we'll get through this. But, you know, most of the people, like, how could you become gay? It's like, you love yourself so much you can't imagine anything different. You ever see the gym bros that spend way too much time looking at themselves?
Yeah.
Gay. All right? Like, I like when there's no mirrors in the room. That's perfection, all right? I apologize for all of you that have to see me, all right? But that's what it is. It literally says, you know, gave them over to their own, their lust of their own hearts. It dishonored them, their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than creator. What does that mean? It means instead of serving God, you serve the creature. Now, here's the thing is, maybe that's your Furby. Is that your God? Some people worship, bow down, and take care of them. Now, here's the thing is, I got dogs. Some people say I take really good care of them. But I'm not worshiping them. All right? They're not the center of my life. But here's the thing is, the creature is you also. And to God, you're nothing more than a creature. So if you're just serving man, you're serving woman, you're serving they, whatever it is, that's the image of God. Not that. You've corrupted the image of God. And he's given you over. For this cause, gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise unto men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning their lust one towards another, men for men, working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, we've preached this over and over again, so I won't carry this. I've just read through this. This is how Paul starts his gospel, his letter to the Romans, and the love of Jesus Christ in the gospel. There are evil people. Don't reject God just because there's evil. Let me tell you how God, how can we have a good God and evil in the world? Here's how it is. God says, you want to be evil, go be evil. Because guess what? For eternity, you'll pay the recompense of your error. This is how the unnatural affections that we see. But here's the thing is, you said you want to talk about the coalition. Yeah, we talked about this. It is the center of month. What is this? This is Pride Month. This is to support homosexuality month. Well, guess what? That's not the only thing I see when they do this. There's a whole lot of other people out there, so I want to talk about the coalition of reprobates, or the reprobate coalition. That's what I want to talk to you today. And to do that, let's turn to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. While you're turning there, I'll just start with verse 13. We'll start a little bit more, but it says, if a man also lieth with mankind, he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. This is what people fear, but here's the thing is, why is this important? It says in Romans 1, those that love these evil things, they have a reprobate mind, they love the deeds that are worthy of death and those that do them. So what's important is, let's learn what are the deeds worthy of death. And let's see if that matches what we see in reality. Because here's the thing I have. I actually believe you don't need to suspend reality to have faith in God. I don't think you need to suspend your vision in reality to have faith in the Bible. I think the Bible, if you're actually following what it says fundamentally, truthfully, in the way it tells you, the reality matches. Yeah. So today I want to show that you do not need to suspend your belief to have faith in the Bible. And you stay there in Leviticus 20, but I'll just read Romans 1 again. Who knowing the judgments of God, these are the reprobates, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is how they build their alliance. This is who reprobates have pleasure in. Reprobates enjoy other reprobates. You know, maybe that's not their flavor of wickedness. They'll send them to hell. That's not the lust of their heart. But they love other people that are also wicked. Well, let's start in Leviticus. Let's start in verse 1. If you're in Leviticus 20, let's start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death, for his people of the land shall stone him with stones. What does this mean? It's explained further in Jeremiah, but I'll give you the summary. They're committing afterbirth abortions. Basically, it says they're offering their children to devils so they could have personal wealth. And this is the same thing as abortion. We've gotten many sermons on it, but if you need that, you can refer to those sermons for deeper, for more details. Why are we against abortion? You're literally murdering. Not only are you murdering, you're murdering innocence. Yeah. You're also murdering helplessness. Yeah. If you will kill the most innocent and weakest and person, you cannot have a basis of morals. And let me explain this. They hate, you know, verse 13. Guess where we start? Abortion. And you know what's interesting? One thing that just makes sense, people are like, you know, if we logically try to figure this, why are a bunch of people that can't have kids, one of their main causes is to kill children? Am I making that up? Have you ever seen pro-abortion things tied with faggotry? It's literally always there. And what is crazy is the Bible says it. The Bible is literally saying, he's starting off, you know what's probably more, like, what's your first cause to lead you to a reprobate mind? Supporting abortion. Now, let me be very clear as I go through this. I actually believe the symbol of reprobate mind is those that advocate, push for this, and go through this. Here's the thing is, I actually believe that you could have a bad experience in jail, you could have something drug related, you could do acts that is mentioned here, but you may not be a reprobate. You could have had an abortion, which is wicked. I believe to get saved, you probably have some repentance or sorrow, at least, of doing that at some point to humble yourself to come to God. So just because the things I will list off perhaps have happened in your life, perhaps you have done it, that doesn't mean you're rejected forever. But let me tell you this, if your entire life is symbolized by you going out and supporting, pushing, or perhaps killing tens of thousands of people, and do you understand? I think I've told you this before in the previous abortion thing. Do you know there are more abortion clinics down the road have killed more than World War II did? All the men in the world with industrial might killing each other for 5 years got nothing on abortion. It's hundreds of millions in the last century. Yeah, reprobate mind. So it's interesting. People that support being like, I'm gay, kill the babies. You can't even have them to kill. Like, why is that a big issue for you? Because they love things worthy of death. So they support. Now, here's the thing is, some of the abortion people, they're not gay, but boy, are they pro-gay. Why? They support other wickedness worthy of death. They take pleasure in it. And that's what the Bible says. And strangely enough, if you look out the window and you see what they're supporting, they're all on the same team. Weird. It's like the Bible is right. Now, here's the thing. It's like, well, I didn't get an abortion. Okay, well, here's the thing. Go down to, you're in Leviticus 20, go down to verse 3. It says, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given his seed unto Moloch and defiled the sanctuary of profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from that man. What's that man? The person who had an abortion. If you are in knowledge of someone who had an abortion and you hide that fact, when he giveth the seed unto Moloch and kill him, then will I set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredoms with Moloch from among his people. So what he's saying is this. It's not just the person who does the abortion. It's not the person who just helps them in murder. It's the people that ignore that as a wickedness. That is what God will look down and say, that is a shame. So you have these people that go out, well, I wouldn't do it, but I'm just for choice, so if other people do it. Yeah, God says, yeah, that's wicked. Yeah. Maybe that person isn't reprobate, but they're on their way. They're certainly supporting the reprobate coalition. Mm-hmm. They're certainly chosen a side in that war, and it isn't God's side. Yeah. And here's the thing is, well, that's pretty judgmental. I'm literally I'm not even bouncing around tonight. I know a lot of times I'm accused, like, man, Paul, you're like all over the place. I've literally straight through Romans, and now I'm just going straight through Leviticus. This is how God wishes it to be shown. He's like, he's not like, he starts off, hey, you want to know some wicked stuff you should put people to death for? How about killing children? Now, what's crazy is out of context. Like, we weren't talking about choice or pro-life or this. If it's out of context, people haven't got their trained opinion. You're like, hey, can I see your kid and just snap their neck? You're like, dude, you're psycho. You're like, oh, well, it's okay if we take your tax money and put it into a medical suit and they wear a white suit when they do it. Because they snap the spine. I won't go into it because it's not necessary for the sermon. Here's the thing. If you're a supporter of that, can you tell me you can watch that and feel okay? Well, I wouldn't want to watch it if you're supporting it. If it's something you support, can't you look at it? Can't you watch it? If that scars you, maybe you want to reconsider which side of the alliance or the coalition you're on. So, you know, abortion are big allies. Well, here's the thing is, let's go down to verse 6, and it says, and the soul that turneth after such have a familiar spirit, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, even set my face against that soul, and cut him off from among his people. Well, here's the interesting. You know the next ally of gays and abortionists? Wiccans. The wizards. They're dressed in Harry Potter. I don't know why, but they're all out there. Like, wizards, magic, witchcraft, sorcery. Like, they're all like, we've done a, what is that, a symbol. Oh, my, Pastor Thompson tells this story all the time. They put a ward on the block, be like, you're not supposed to be able to pass here. I put a ward to block Christians. He's like, I'm sorry, your magic doesn't work here. I'm a God's child.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, am I making that up? Have you ever seen Wiccans for pride, or, you know, lesbian witches for abortion or something like that. I mean, these things, like, if you think about it, you're like, I mean, yeah, they're always together. There's not a pro-life Wiccan branch, all right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And that's not me, like, just making stuff up. The Bible told you this. The Bible literally shows you who's in the coalition of reprobates. And the witches are mentioned right there. It's weird, yeah. False religion, false gods, you know, people that like wickedness. Amazingly, they all run together. Well, let's look down at verse 7. Verse 7 through 9, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. I am the Lord thy God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctify you. For even one that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He curses his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him." A lot of people are like, oh, that's crazy. Well, here's the thing. Let's bring it into a modern context. Who fights against having families? Is it like Christians, like, we got to destroy the patriarchy? Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the pride people. Yeah. That's everyone who's for abortion. That's every witch and wicked person, false prophet out there. Like, we got to destroy the family. The family is Christian fascism. Yeah, they want to rebel and break the family apart. God says you meet someone like that, put them to death. They're possessed by a spirit. And here's the thing is, am I making that up? Or is that an obvious fact that this is part of the alliance of reprobates? Yeah. The coalition is literally anti-family. Cause children to rebel. How about you run away? Hey, how about we make it state law that if your child in secret is taken away in school and says, I don't know what gender I am, the state can take them from the family and hold them over until they're done transitioning your child. You're like, no, that's made up. You're like, no, that was Washington State.
Yeah.
Wow, it seems like these death-worthy sins, because, hey, kidnapping's worth sin, you know, death, too. Yeah. Isn't it weird that they also would love kidnapping? Yeah. They're like, yeah, we can't reproduce, so kidnap them so we can kill them slowly. You're like, Paul, you're going crazy tonight. I'm literally reading through the Bible. I'm just saying reality matches Bible.
Amen.
There's people that hate the family. They're pro-abortion. They're pro-faggotry, and they are pro-witchcraft. This is just what the Bible's gone through. It seems like they're allies. And that's what they call themselves outside of here. So, hey, I'm just saying they're the coalition, the reprobate. So if you feel that some one of these issues, well, I kind of identify with this, get right with God. God says this is not one of your sides. Like, if you're supporting any of these, you probably want to switch which alliance you're in. Why don't you come to the children of God? Continuing on. It says adultery. In verse 10 it says, "And that the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." You're like, whoa, we're really getting close. Now this is anti-family. If you don't understand what a family is, it's something that's supposed to be solid and forever.
Yep.
And various things. I think it should be a picture of what eternality is. You know, you are eternally bound to each other until in this life. It's So if you're breaking that oath, you're going off because you're flesh to flesh. That's fine. Anything that happens in a married person's room, that's honorable before God. But you break that, it's worthy of death. You have broken the family.
Yeah.
Child rebels against his parents breaking the family, worthy of death. The husband breaks his vows, worthy of death. Wife breaks her vows. Worthy of death, because you're not maintaining the family. If you say you are pro-family, it's not just don't kill your kids. It's not just raise them and homeschool or you give them a proper structure of life. It's also you're not breaking your vows to your wife. These aren't separate issues. They're all together. And what's interesting is this. Is it strange to go, well, I'm not gay, but they're my ally. Yeah, but you're also a sexual immoralist. You have other things you don't hold to. Well, yeah, we're for open relationship. Now, here's the thing is, you may say, well, Paul, why are you bringing that up? I'm like, isn't the Bible? What would this mean if they're like, hey, you need to set the statute. You cannot be with another person outside of your marriage. The opposite of that would be an open relationship. And isn't it weird? You know one of the allies of the gays? Open relationships. That's a big thing they're pushing right now.
They're saying that's perfectly fine. I mean, why would you be so controlling?
It's interesting because we think this is a modern problem, but I bet if you actually just sat down and read through Leviticus 20, you'd find like, wait a minute. Paul's telling the Romans, you know, 2,000 years ago, hey, this is a problem then too.
Yep.
And you know what? You've had this problem. You've had all that. Let me tell you, just because you've had this, let me tell you what I am talking about. The people that are pushing it, because you understand, there are millions of dollars going out for publications to normalize. We need to normalize, you know, not being so controlling of each other's sexual life. We need to normalize, you know, fluidity and sexuality. We need to normalize not being normal, is essentially what they're saying. And let me tell you this. Of course they're all allies because it's worthy of death and they love those that would do those things.
Yeah.
It's all connected. And it's to destroy the family. All sexual immorality. It's interesting because guess what I'm going to be going through now? More sexual immorality. You know, I hear this a lot like, well, my God wouldn't care what happens between two consenting adults in their bedroom. Well, weird. God of the universe does care.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't just see, you know, it's not just what's outside. Because guess what? He's an all-knowing, all-seeing God. What happens, you know, behind a wall is right in front of his face. And he told you how you could have this relationship in purity of his eyes, but people go out and commit vile affections, abomination. These are the words he uses to record this. And isn't it interesting? They all like to team up together. Well, if you're an adulteress, you know, and you like married women, why are you supporting gays? That's not you. Oh, because you both like things that are worthy of death. Both are vile. And you're like, not my cup of tea, but hey, we got each other's back because it makes it evil. And you can see that out in Pride. I'm not telling you to go look, but call me. Tell me that this is out of the world. This is impossible to understand. You're just making stuff up. You'd have to be lying and ignorant to try to tell me these are not the allies.
Yeah.
Let's go down to verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father naked. Both of them shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Weird. Sexual perversion, also in another way, being put to death. Guess what? They're all for sexual liberation. Say you whatever. With it, you know, however you identify, whatever you find. No, that's not. God does care what happens. Unpure abomination. Verse 12, it says, "And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be surely put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them." Their blood shall be upon them is the same thing we hear from homosexualities. We focus a lot because the thing that homosexuality is pushed so much in society. But here's the thing is, there are other things equally worthy of death. And it is interesting, a lot of it is what happens between two adults in closed order. Yeah, God doesn't care about that. Christians, you're like, well, you're just concerned what's happening in other households. God says this is why he removed entire people out of the land. This is what happens behind closed, like, let's just say it's behind closed doors. Yeah, well, guess what? This is what God says. That's what makes the land filthy and needs to be cast out. Yep. But here's the thing is, why is that? Well, it's interesting. Most people do wickedness and evil at night and in the darkness without people seeing. You know, most people that go and, like, rob a bank, it's not usually, like, with the horns, like, I'm coming to rob the bank. Please watch me. No, they're in the dark. They're scurrying around. They know what they're doing is wicked, and that gives them a thrill. Filthy reprobates are the same way. Most of what they do, they don't actually want open, but they like other people doing it so they can do it more. And it's all the way through here. And the other thing, I think this all ties to destroying the family, destroying the patriarchal system, destroying the Christo-fascist idea of the home. Yeah, it's all done that because it is impure immorality, just wickedness. Now, here's the thing is, we've made our way down in context to verse 13, which we have read multiple times. If a man also lie with mankind, he has lied with women. Both of them committed abomination. Abomination. Those that have trouble to understand the doctrine that we have in this church, and which Christians have had for thousands of years throughout any denomination until like 100 years ago, well, why can't you just read this verse?
Right.
Well, it's sin. Not all sin is abominable.
Yeah.
All sin will send you to hell.
Yeah.
but not all is like an abomination to God. And here's the thing is, abortion also, I didn't read that just for the sake of time in Jeremiah. God says that didn't even cross his mind.
Amen.
Can you imagine the all-powerful God who designed everything, when he saw people sacrificing their children, he's like, that never even entered my mind. You guys literally did something so wicked I couldn't even comprehend. Because guess what? Our God is a pure-minded God.
Yep.
He's like blown away by the wickedness that we would do with our lives. But here's the thing is, being gay just destroys what a relationship should be. And there's this term, I won't go too much into it, but like I see it a lot, that basically like generation whatever, Z, Y, whatever the young one is, they're basically like, everything's fake and gay. Because nothing's real. Like the AI, fake, makes it gay. Yeah. Like TV, everything's fake and gay. Well, it's interesting because really those things do go together. Like, what's gay love? Fake love.
Mm-hmm.
What's I'm pro-choice? You're fake morality.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, no, many people don't say this, but they want more open, easy divorce, open relationship. You're for fake marriages,
yeah.
Fake love, fake responsibilities, fake this. And then you're like, I don't know why I don't feel fulfilled. Because everything in your life is fake and gay. That like, and that's why you have to ally with other fake gay people so you can be like, well, no, we're building community. Why do all your communities suck then if all you're doing is building community? Because it's fake and gay. And that's in context. Now here's the thing is, it goes on from there. Let's go to verse 14 of Leviticus 20. All right, and it says, if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and them, that they be no more wickedness among you. So God is actually even more mad if this would happen. He's like, you're destroying what a family's supposed to be to such a level of perversion. It's not just stone them and let their blood be upon them. Take all three of them and burn them. Let their ashes not even remain upon this world. Like, what are you doing? The whole purpose, like, let me tell you, it's one of the sweetest parts of your life. It's supposed to be your family, a family structure, people you know, you trust, you know the organization, you know the hierarchy, and guess what? From birth until death, it doesn't really change. So you build this structure that you can feel love, confidence, and support in. God gave this to you, and you're like, you've destroyed it there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what in the world is wrong? Obviously, somebody grew up not with a father. Like, just anyway, God says, burn it with fire. And then I will burn them with fire.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the thing is, all destroying the family. But here's the thing is, well, you know, I have other things. I'm not hurting anyone. Well, God doesn't care. If it's so wrong, he hates it. Continue to verse 15. It says, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. He shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto the beast and lie down thereunto, they shall kill the woman and the beast, and they shall surely put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Guess what? It seems like God does care what happens between, well, it's not even consenting adults. You know, I didn't hurt anyone. Yeah, God's like, no, wrong. Wrong. Just wrong. It's just wicked. And what's interesting is, you'd have to call me crazy and be like, yeah, that whole rainbow flag, whatever they're doing now, it's just all sexual perversion.
Yeah.
I mean, then like, well, this is an identity. They're going for it, whatever it is. And it's interesting that, like, why would you support that? Oh, that's right, because they're doing things worthy of death, and you love others that would do it too. Doesn't matter if it's your flavor. Why? Because you're in the coalition of reprobates.
Yeah.
The reprobate coalition.
Amen.
They're your allies. And it's weird. God told us that's the way it would be. And that is, excuse me, and that's just the way it goes. Sorry. Leviticus, and that's what I'm just saying. So I'll read Romans 1 once again. 32, who knoweth the judgment of God, that which commits such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is why you can see people that like, well, they're married, and a lot, I mean, people in this church even have the story from extended families. They've been married for years. They have kids. And then they want an open relationship, and now they just gay. Why? Reprobate mind.
Yep.
You go into something wicked and evil, your mind just becomes perverse, and eventually God just says, I'll just sear your conscience, is how God says. So thereby you can't even feel right and wrong. But it's literally, here's the thing, in the other place in the Bible, it literally says, it's like a hunger that they cannot satisfy. It's why they're never happy. They're never consoled. They're unconsolable. Why? So all they can do is they have to fulfill their evil lusts, and they're just only happy if more evil is in the world around them. And this is why the merciful God gave us the perfect law, you know, God's law that literally says people like this just removed from society.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do.
Amen.
Their mind is gone.
Yep.
Well, I think I'm going to get a psychiatrist that says it's fine. Yeah, no, that's a reprobate mind. Because didn't I tell you with abortion, do you think God changes his mind with other death-worthy sins? Be like, well, you know, I didn't see what they did, so thereby I don't know. God says, no, that's wicked. It should be cut off. If you would ignore the evil that goes around you, you know, and one of the most sad things, like, hey, this church, despite who's in power, we don't care if it's a blue, a red president. You know what's wrong? Pedophilia.
Yep.
Yeah, guess what? They should be put to death.
Amen.
Anyone that has the list and that and hasn't done the power to put them to death, they're of a reprobate mind. Because obviously they're supported. They're like, well, I didn't do it. Yeah, but you're protecting them.
Yep.
That is of a reprobate alliance there.
Yep.
Well, some of them are MAGA. Well, they're MAGA bit rabits, reprobates. Because let me tell you this. Trump got up and said, I am the greatest ally of the faggots, or whatever he said. You know, he waved the rainbow flag. Yeah. Ally of the reprobates.
Yeah.
Coalition of the reprobates. If you don't turn these things around and you fight against them, it doesn't matter. You are an ally of that. And let me tell you, any of these sins, now like I said, there's many chances. Maybe you've partaked in this sin. Maybe at certain points, I was in college and I was like, yeah, maybe pro-choice. But I find it hard that you could have humbled yourself to God with that opinion. We've all sinned and come short of God. There may be many bad things you have done in your life. But here's the thing is, if your life is literally dedicated on the spreadsheet of any of this filth for years, it'd be hard for me to understand how your mind has not been turned off from God. If literally for decades upon decades, you're just like, I just want to get the abortion numbers up. I just want to see so many more broken homes. I want to see so many more people into pornography and this. Or like, because here's the thing is, I mean, if you're, like, there's other death-worthy sins in the Bible. How about prostitution? You prostitute your daughter, that's supposed to be removed from the land.
Yeah.
Guess what? Do you know what's a shame of any Christian? No Christian should be like, I'm a pimp. That's wicked.
Yeah.
That is a kidnapper, human trafficking, purveyor of sexual immorality. They'd all be put to death.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a prostitute at times. You're like, well, God said, yeah, he said, go and sin no more. But let me tell you this, to clean the filth, you shouldn't support wickedness. Porn, pornography, all these things. Go ahead and turn to Exodus 20. Because here's the thing, I don't have time to go through all the wickedness, but here's the thing is, isn't it weird that the big thing with pride is sex works, real work? You'd have to call me a liar, like you'd have to be making stuff up if you didn't know that that's part of their political motion. Because they're open relationship, open, you do whatever you want, girl power, like to go sell yourself. And I'm like, no, don't do that. And I'm the evil person, right? Well, isn't it interesting? God says that's who would support these people. How could these people support faggotry? Why would you? You can't even do this. But they love things worthy of death. And they all will support each other. Don't be confused by this. The Bible told you this is the way it would be. But in Exodus 20, let's go through a big one that you would see people supporting that which is evil. It says in Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, it giveth thee a sign and wonder, and a sign of wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, and saying, let us go after other gods, which thou knowest not, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love God or with all your hearts and soul. If ye walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and shall serve him and cleave unto him, and the prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and reamed you out of the house of bondage and thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commands you to walk in. So shall you put evil away from the midst of you. If thy brother or thy son or thy mother or thy son or thy daughter or thy wife or of thy bosom or thy friend, which is thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go serve other gods, which thou hast known not, thou or thy fathers, namely the god of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent to them, nor hearken to them, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thou shalt be first upon him unto his death, and afterward thy hand of all thy people. What is all this saying? Somebody that would come and tell you, do not worship God the way he wishes. He wants you to turn away from the God of the Bible and go after things. Well, Joseph Smith had a dream. Don't care. Put him to death.
Yep.
Muhammad saw a dream. Put him to death.
Amen.
You know, Karl Marx had a dream and he came up with a system that would turn away from God. Put him to death. Isn't it interesting that all these fake religions, all these things, you know, Pentecostals be like, it's okay, just don't sin no more. And blah, 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 blah. Wow, and so you accept all reprobates into your belly? Well, of course, they have money. Money is green. Almighty dollar. These mega churches turn away from the Word of God, and what's crazy is it literally says, I don't care if it's your friend, your brother, your sister, this, you should be the first upon them. Isn't it interesting that those that hate God, they support, like, hey, here's a crazy thing. Whether you know it or not, I don't care, and I don't think it's like a Christian move, but you know what's going on in Ireland right now? Isn't it weird? All the gays are getting together and trying to bring in the Mohammedans. Why are these allies? Because they're lovers of those worthy of death. They hate the God of the Bible. The entire religion of Islam is to insult the God of the Bible because a dreamer of dreams wanted to rape and pillage and die because he raped the wrong woman. If you don't know, he was poisoned by a woman he raped. That's how he died. Worthy of God. God, blessed be his name. Piss be upon him.
Amen.
But here's the thing is, a lot of people are like, I just don't understand why the gays are allies with the Mohammedans. Because the Mohammedans get in power, they would kill them. Yeah, but they destroy Christians. They'll kill each other later, that's fine. But right now, they have a better thing to target, which is the Bible. Christians. God, the children. Devil don't care about his minions. They can kill each other. That doesn't bother the devil at all.
Right.
And here's the thing is, you'd be like, why in the world would they support each other? Because evil loves evil.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have to be of the same evil. They don't have to worship the same demon, the devil, the dreamer of dreams, the same, you know, prophet. They can have different prophets. They don't care. As long as it's against what's right, they can support each other.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is, you're like, I think you're crazy. I think this is just what the Bible tells you. It literally says they would team up. They love evil deeds and they love those that would do them. Guess what? They would build allies or the coalition of reprobates. And I think the Bible clearly teaches this is the way it was going to be. So with that, go back to Romans 1. Because putting this all into context, because I don't have time to go through all the death-worthy sins and literally show you in reality how they all, in current time, right now, not a history lesson, not talking about church fathers, right now the Bible is literally showing itself to be true.
That's right.
In Romans 1, in verse 21, here, like, how can we identify those that are on the wrong side of God? How about they just reject his commandments? All right, it says in Romans 1, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So right away, hey, you don't glorify the God of the Bible? You're very close to the wrong side. Maybe you yourself are not a reprobate, but you're certainly supporting the reprobate alliance. Neither were they thankful. Oh, you're prideful. Weird. What a perfect name of the month. They became vain. and also prideful in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. A lot of times people think, like, it's really hard to tell now, is this a legitimate news story or is this the Babylon Bee? I mean, I don't know how you make satire of the current times. People imagine stupid things and then they get a $1 million grant to make it reality. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I actually believe Brother James was telling me in his high school that literally, if you make fun of a furry, that's very punishable because that is an identified class. I am not going to tell you what that is, but they dress up in costumes and pretend they're animals for wickedness. And let me tell you, you better believe they're out in pride right now.
Yep.
And that is not me making that up. Weird. That's right here. Vain in their own imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Can you talk sense to a crazy person? No, I truly believe sometimes when we talk to people that have been drugged out, worked out, man, I think the spirit clears their mind a little so they can take some reason.
Yeah.
All right? But let me tell you this. Foolishness of the heart will darken the mind. And I think you can see that clearly with our society.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Well, I have a degree in, you know, human sexuality. Yeah, you're probably far gone. You probably learned absolutely nothing of value for your life. You learned about Phil, and what I forget how it says. You know, with the darkness of this world, you probably shouldn't partake it too much. The verse is escaping my mind right now. But it's like, all you did was darken your mind. You know? And it's like, well, I have a PhD in poli-sci. Well, then we only have one political party that wins 100% of elections. So what good did that do you? How about you get some wisdom and let me add value to your life? How about we give you wisdom so you protect your children? How about we give you some structure so you can live a fulfilled life for the rest of your life? That would give you that. Professing themselves to gain wise, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man. So corruptible man would be you worship yourself, you worship man, and hey, if you didn't know, communism is the worship of man. During Russia, during World War II, they tried to make the biggest building in the world, which was the Temple of Man. It was going to be the glory of men. The liberation of France, the revolution in France, was to show the wisdom of man. And I won't go into it tonight, but there is a big difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, though they tied together. Because despite whatever the Founding Fathers were, they still said, well, we're under God. The French Revolution was, we're under man's wisdom. Worshiping man is a big thing, and that is a basis of all liberal progressivism, is that we are free from the spiritual to worship man. It's weird. This is why you can take such a broad branch of different political views, and yet they go together. You're like, nothing you believe goes together. Why do you support this? Reprobate mind. Reprobate thought. Reprobate wisdom. And even if not all of them are reprobate, they have been guided and led by the reprobate dreamer of dreams.
Right.
The false prophets of man's wisdom, of fake gods, of demons.
Yes.
They have led them away. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and a bird, four-footed beast, and creepy things. This is just all pagan religions. Just think of India. And you're like, what good thing comes out of India? Scams. That's not even a good thing, but that's what they're known for. I'm not as opposed to certain people in our movement about their food, but hey, if you think it's a symbol of sin, that's fine. But it's not like a lot of good came out of India. It's not like we are one of the oldest religions. Why does no one know any good things you've ever done?
Yeah. Right.
You have people standing for 15 years ruining their body to try to worship their God. You have people holding your arm up to do sacrifice. Your break-off, I guess your Protestant revolution, was the Buddhists, and they molest children like the Catholics. Like, literally nothing good came out of your 5,000, 6,000-year-old religion. What do you have to show for all this time you've been around? Demon worship, filth, and disgust.
Yep.
Wow. They would support gays. They would support open relationships. They support kidnapping. These people are also part of the rape gangs going throughout Europe. You're like, huh, weird. How do all these people go together? Oh, coalition of the reprobates.
Man.
And you're like, oh, you're being racist. No, I'm being anti-religious. I'm being Christo-fascist if you really want. I know fine. Christos supremist, if you like, whatever you want to say. Because I'm going to tell you this, hey, I have no problem with, you know, Moses, if you guys met him. Like, I mean, he's about as dark as anyone can be, and he's from India. But he's a believer. He's going out and getting people saved. Guess what? I think I have more in common with him than a neo-Nazi white American.
Yeah. Man.
So it's not race. It's religion. It's your mind. It's like, has your mind been renewed? Are you a child of God?
Yep.
Wherefore, God also gave them up unto the uncleanness. Isn't that weird? What's one thing that's really uniform with a lot of people of this? Any type of persuasion. It doesn't. It's unclean.
Yeah.
It's just filthy. It's just gross.
Yeah.
You go to the way they live. You go to what they do. Why do they do it in the dark? Because even they're like, bleh.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Man.
Like, most of India, just gross. Like, all these things. All the, like, people are pro-abortion. What are you doing? You have dead babies. Gross. You're part of sexual immorality. Gross.
Man.
Like, literally, the body revolts.
Yeah.
Animal with people, gross. Like, all of it is just unclean. You're like, how could a God that's good allow such things? It says, uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts. Why did Paul start with this when he went out to the Gentiles of Rome, the capital base of the world at that time? He started by answering this question, why is there evil in this world? There is evil because God gave us the free will. God's free will allows us to do that. And here's the thing is, most people can't even do the filth that I listed until God removes their ability to even allow it. So it's interesting that Calvinisms or whatnot will preach like, well, God has to give you the ability to get saved and to be good. What the Bible actually says is to go totally evil, God has to actually allow you to do that. But he doesn't make you do that. You reject him, you go prideful, you become foolish in your own imaginations, and you darken your own mind so much, God finally just says, hey, go be free. And isn't that interesting? I just want to be free. I just don't want to have any rules. That's the punishment of God.
Yeah.
To give you total freedom in this life is a punishment of God that makes you unclean. I mean, that's a hard thing, but, and once again, Paul, you're just made, I'm not trying to bounce around a lot tonight. I'm trying to just flow directly with the verse in context, is what I'm trying to do. And it says in verse 29, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the Creator more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Isn't it interesting that every fake church out here, and I'm not just talking about like we disagree on this or that. I'm talking about the ones that are just like they know they're not Christian.
Right.
Everyone that has a rainbow flag on there, yeah. Every United Methodist that's like, we don't even allow straight men in here. Like, you're not a, like, that's not a Christian church.
Amen.
Why do they do that? So they get tax benefits and be an offense towards God.
Yeah.
Why? They're worthy of death for doing it, and they enjoy others to do that. Because let me tell you, like, I mean, there's a lot of churches and church leaders that all seem somehow to be lesbians in, like, pastoral positions. They go, you know, the Bible is outdated. We need a new Testament. They're like, you're not like this. And people are like, well, Christians are divided on this topic. No, they're not. Satan's attacking it with his mini coalition of reprobates. Because
yeah.
We have atheist fags, non-believing Methodist ministers, yeah, same team, Satan. They love doing things worthy of death, and they find pleasure in those that do them. This is the reprobate coalition. In verse 26, it says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use of the men, also like men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves recompense of their errors, which was meat. Understand, tying this all back to the Pride Month, isn't it interesting? Because people are like, oh, that's just the way they were born. Yet science has come out once again with another study that says there's no genetics for it. It doesn't exist. The Bible says it's a recompense of their errors, which is being made. Meat.
It's literally showing. Like, their brain is so broken, they're showing you. They're literally showing you, we cannot think correctly. We do not have morals. We are not able to determine right and wrong. And with that, let's just continue on, because here's the thing is, not only is this an outward sign that their mind has been ruined, but here's the thing is, not all of them are gay. But here's the thing, here's a list of everyone who's reprobate can be. Hey, think of people in the Pharaoh. Hey, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, I mean, his people are like, dude, don't do this. Like, God is real. Turn and repent. They're like, nah, but I'm not going to let the people go. He has a reprobate mind. God literally sealed him to the fate. But it says right here in verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Hey, how do people come to the idea that they're like, you know what, I'm going to spend my life working in an abortion clinic trying to get those numbers high. I just want people, like, I'm going to wear a shirt that says, I've had 8 abortions and I'm better than you. Hey, I'm going to wear a shirt that says, open relations for anyone, send your husband. Hey, I'm just going to say, you know, all type of filth, all type of sexual immorality, all type of things that go support there. I just want to destroy the house. I hope to kidnap your kids and train them myself. I hope they run away and forsake you. I hope they turn in filth and all these things. How do you get to this level? How are you a supporter of this? How are you spending your life and take joy that other people are doing this to other people? Because God's given you over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Because let me tell you, everything I just mentioned there is not convenient. All that wickedness is of him. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. I've covered that in detail with the many allies. Wickedness. Covered that. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Well, I think that's going too far. Abortion's murder.
Yep.
What do they want to do with Christians? Kill them. They even say that. Burn the churches down. Get rid of the Christo-fascists. Get rid of all the normal people so we can live in a gay, happy land. Yeah, well, you're all going to die because you're all miserable. Hey, let me tell you this. Women, you think men are abusive? You should look at the abuse levels of lesbians. There's not a man in the house. Abuse is higher. Maybe men aren't the problem. No, I'm just that. There's a whole other problem there. I'm not... But being filled with unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate. What do they want to do? They want to stand on the side of the road and debate with cars. Like, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. The people that are mostly standing on the side of the street screaming on division, I mean, it doesn't even matter. It's like, we don't know. Elon's good. Elon's bad. Elon's good. He's a billionaire. He's a trillionaire. I don't know. Like, they keep changing sides. I don't know which it is this week. But they just want to debate and argue and scream and show their filthiness out. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't think one person has ever been changed by driving down division. That's just me. But deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. I'm like, I've just covered this whole list, this entire sermon. These are all the allies. These are all the people that support the reprobates. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Well, here's the thing is, a lot of people are like, look, just don't try to aggravate them. Look, you can run away all you want. That doesn't please them. They're not going to go away. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be unsatisfied. Why? They've been going over the reprobate mind. They can never be satisfied. So don't pretend that if you ignore them or try to bring them water, that they're just going to like you and it's all going to go away. You're just being ashamed of God.
Yep.
And you're going to show that you are not the true children of God. You may be disobedient. Maybe they're even saying that people have fallen from this, but I'm going to tell you this. You have chosen the wrong side.
Right.
You have supported the coalition of the reprobate. Let me tell you, God is not happy about that. And all I have done tonight, if you're unhappy about anything I've said, I've just read the verses of the Bible. And what I've done, I just pointed directly to how it is in reality right now. Through all this. Who knowing the judgment of God, that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. And I'll end with this. Go ahead and turn down to verse, if you're not there,
I'll read them out. But Leviticus 20. Two bottom verses there. Because here's the thing. Why should we care? People are like, oh, you just always hit on this topic. It just riles people up. You're just doing it to get attention and feel like you're a baddie or something. No, I'm actually warning you. It's a warning. Like, if all the preachers in America, even if they're not a Baptist flavor, would just get up and read the Bible and tell people what it means now, let me tell you what we could do. Maybe we will have a country for our children. And here's the interesting thing. Every alliance there, and here's the thing is, I know we're about to hear all the wickedness of America coming up for the 250th thing, and God bless it. Because listen, I'm a Christian. All right? I'm a Christian. All right? I'm American, maybe third or out there. I'm a father, I live in America. So I am not some patriot. But let me tell you this. You know what's interesting, though? Every single ally that I mentioned today about the coalition of the reprobate, aren't they all anti-nationalists? They want to bring death to everything. Their goal is to do that. And here's the thing is, when you let these people go rampant, you just let them go out of control, don't worry, you won't have a nation. Because here's the thing, in Leviticus 20, down in verse 22, why should anyone preach this? It says, "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for the commandments of all things, and therefore I abhorred them." What God says here, if you just allow the reprobate coalition to take over, guess what? If you're killing your children, you have sexual immorality, you don't raise children in normal families and treating them of God, don't worry, you won't have a nation. You're like, well, how do you see that? All of Europe.
Yep. Amen.
Hey, if you ever, maybe not everyone's here as a history buff, you're witnessing the greatest genocide ever. 100 years ago, if you said, there's not going to be one European country left, people would be like, what? They rule the world. But they all rejected God. They all think, well, we're scientists now. We'll just do that. Man, the reprobate coalition came. None of those lands will be of them. The land is spewing them out. And it's happening in America, too. I mean, you have false religions, you have wickedness, you have immorality taking over. The land is spewing out the people. Whether you think they're good people, Christian, that, it doesn't really matter. Because, hey, if you stop having kids, hey, Japan wasn't holy before, but guess what? Japan's dying. I think Korea's going to beat them out. They're just not even producing. The land is spewing it out. And God literally says, if you don't follow my commandments, here's the thing is, you know, other countries, they can honor their parents, keep a solid family, have kids in a natural way, and their nation will continue. I'm not saying it's a righteous nation, but if you follow God's command, the land won't spew you out. You see every single so-called Western nation dying because they're supporting the reprobate coalition. And you know what they'll give you? Absolutely nothing in return. So tonight, I just want to tell you, that is why it's important. One, Paul wanted to justify to the Romans right from the get-go why there's wicked in the world. And the word's wickedness, because God gave us freedom of choice. And yes, that choice can be used to be doing wicked, abominable things, but it can also allow you to turn to Christ. This is the gift and the curse of free will, but this is the way God made it. And if you don't follow this and you support the reprobate coalition, the land will spew you out. So I hope that every child of God, every preacher, anyone who even believes they're a Christian, should open the words of God and just stand and loudly proclaim the words of God. Because guess what? That's the only hope you have for your nation.
Amen.
And with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. I pray and give thanks that I was on. I hope that I said only things that would be honoring unto you. I tried to preach your word and bring it to relevance today, Lord. I know this every June we preach on this topic, but Lord, every year it seems needful. Lord, I hope this was meaningful and uplifted your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you want to take your psalm books, we're going to turn to psalm number... your hymn books, actually. We're going to turn to hymn number 27, The Old Rugged Cross. Hymn number 27. Number 27, The Old Rugged Cross. We'll sing it out on the first. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, you please close us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church, Lord. And I pray, God, that this month you will protect us all from the wickedness of the pride going on in our country. And I pray, God, that you will burn them quickly. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.